He stopped himself from going on. Dorn almost smiled. At least you have two working hands. I understand.
Pacing the narrow confines of Pleiades Bridge, Victor saw that Hunter was heading for Syracuse. Good, he said to himself. Then he recalled that the half-machine creature on Hunter had wanted him to head back to Ceres and turn himself in. Screw that, he thought. They heard Pauline's distress call, Victor knew. They'll get to her before I do. He nodded to himself. Good, fine. The sooner Pauline gets help, the better. Then his comm screen showed the seamed, aged face of the old woman. Attention, Syracuse, she said. This is Hunter. We have been diverted temporarily. We estimate rendezvous with you in approximately 5 hours. 5 hours, Victor thought. He returned to the command chair and pecked out his navigation program. At the rate I'm moving, I'll be there in a little more than 6 hours. For the first time in months, Victor smiled. Warship Syracuse, backup command pod. Falker stopped his descent, and clinging to the rungs in the shadows of the dimly lit tube tunnel, he listened to Pauline and her daughter. He could clearly hear their voices echoing up the tube, even though the two women were speaking in hushed whispers. "Fire off the pod?" the daughter asked. "But we've got to get away from those men," Pauline said urgently. "We can escape in the pod and let the people in Hunter pick us up." "But what good would that do?" the daughter demanded. "They'll just come after us, whether we're in Hunter or here." Impatiently, Pauline answered, "We're alone here, alone against 10 of them. At least aboard Hunter we'll have a better chance." Falker could make them out, down at the end of the tube. Pauline was working the bulkhead-mounted pad that controlled the hatch into the command pod. "That Captain Volker isn't so bad," the daughter was saying. "He wouldn't let them hurt us."
"Angela, for God's sake," Pauline snapped. "Don't be a fool."
"But we can't trust him." Volker sighed philosophically. "The woman's right. Even if I wanted to protect her and her daughter, the roughnecks behind me won't leave them alone. Too bad. I might have changed my whole life with a woman like Pauline at my side. Too bad." As soon as the hatch slid open, Walker called to them. "Hello, ladies. Good to see you've recovered, Angela." Staring up at him, they looked up like a pair of guilty waifs suddenly caught in the police spotlight. Pauline pushed her daughter through the hatch and started into the command pod herself. Walker clambered down the rungs as swiftly as a monkey, then dropped the final few meters and slammed his palm against the hatch's control panel, stopping Pauline from shutting it.
"You weren't thinking of leaving, were you?"
he asked, stepping into the cramped little pod. Pauline backed away from him until her hip bumped against the control board. Angela stood off to one side, half smiling at him.
"Please don't go," Falker said, with exaggerated courtliness. "The fun is just beginning."
"This is weird," Theo muttered as he lifted Dorn's prosthetic arm out of its shoulder socket. The cyborg was sitting stolidly on a stool by the workbench. An interactive maintenance vid was running on the wall screen of the workshop. The arm felt heavy in Theo's hands. He put it down carefully on the workbench's top, littered with tools. "Can you feel any of this?" Theo asked. Dorn nodded slightly. "It isn't pain, but the sensation isn't pleasant, either." Jabbing a thumb toward the wall screen, Theo said, "According to the vid, this shoulder joint should be self-lubricating." "Pressurized air lubrication, I know," said Dorn. "But the shoulder seizes up. The lubrication fails." Theo asked the voice-activated program for a list of possible failure modes. "Air leakage," he said, studying the list. "That must be it." "Or erosion of the bearings." "I can test the bearings," Theo said. Pointing, he asked, "That's an electron microscope, isn't it?" "The maintenance program should have a subroutine for testing the bearings." "Right." Half an hour later, as he was replacing the bearings in the shoulder ring of Dorn's arm, Theo said, "The bearings are all well within specification." Then it must be a pinpoint leak in the air lubrication, said Dorn. We don't have the equipment to find the microscopic hole in the seal. Theo thought a moment. Maybe we can... Alverda's voice on the intercom interrupted him. The navigation program estimates rendezvous with Syracuse within 1 hour. I can see another ship mated with her. That's the scavengers, Theo said. They'll want this ship, said Dorn. They'll want to kill us all, including my mother and sister. Dorn gestured with his human arm. We'd better get me back together, then, and hope the arm doesn't freeze up again. Lifting the arm in both hands and working its end into Dorn's prosthetic shoulder, Theo said, Maybe we can use a quick and dirty fix. Quick and dirty? Yeah. The arm clicked into the shoulder socket. As Theo reached for the air hose attached to the workbench's side, he explained, We replenish the air in the bearings, get it up to the right pressure, then we spray a plastic sealant around the joint so the plastic covers whatever pinhole might be in there. Dorn thought a moment. Like spraying sealant on a leaking tire. Right. It ought to hold, at least for a while. Dorn nodded. It's better than nothing.
Valker disabled the circuit that fired the explosive bolts that would separate the backup command pod from the main body of Syracuse, talking to Pauline and Angela non-stop as he bent over the console. My crew's drooling with anticipation over you two, he said, his usual smile replaced by a tight-lipped, unhappy frown. It's not going to be easy to keep you out of their hands. Then let us get away from here, Pauline urged. Valker shook his head. No. That won't work. They'll go chasing after you. And when they catch up with you, nothing will stop them. Not even me. Then what are you going to do? Angela asked, her voice trembling. They'll be busy taking Hunter once it gets here. But after they've got her, they'll want to celebrate. Leave my daughter alone, Pauline said. Give me to them. Mother! That might work. Valker said. For a while. But only for a while. Pauline swept the cramped pod with her eyes, looking for a tool, a weapon, something, anything. Valker straightened up, the disconnected firing keys to the separation bolts in his hands. Ladies, I'm afraid you're in for a rough time.
Cargo ship Pleiades. Bridge. Victor called up the nav program for the eighth time in the past half hour. Estimate rendezvous with Syracuse in 93 minutes, he read aloud from the screen. 93 minutes. I'll see Pauline and the kids again in a little more than an hour and a half. Punching up the radar image, he saw the wheel shape of Syracuse clearly enough, although there seemed to be a strange sort of bulge on one side of the vessel's hub. And there was the blip of Hunter, also heading toward Pauline. His fingers worked the keyboard, and the screen showed that Hunter would arrive at Syracuse's position in less than an hour. They're 30-some minutes ahead of me, Victor thought. I'll get there half an hour after they do. He checked the comm program. No messages from Syracuse since that one distress call. Why not? Victor asked himself. You'd think they'd be beaming out a steady call for help. Why aren't they? He sagged back in the command chair, unwilling to believe what logic was telling him. That one message was their last gasp. They're dead now. All of them. Pauline, Theo, my little angel. He pounded both his fists on the chair's armrests. To come this close and still be too late. Victor bowed his head. He wanted to weep. But instead he raised his chin and glared at the radar image on the main screen. No, I won't give up. Not until there's not a shred of a chance that they're still living. Not until I see their dead bodies with my own eyes. Not until then. Not until then.
Valker's communicator buzzed in his tunic pocket. His eyes still on Pauline and Angela, he fished it out of his pocket and held it up to his ear. What? Nico's voice answered, Radar shows another ship heading this way, running silent. Valker's brows knit. Running silent? and heading this way like a bullet, about half an hour behind Hunter.